who are weary and heavy laden, if you're stressed, if you feel like you failed, if you feel like you're not good enough, if you don't, he makes a grand invitation saying, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Man, how many of you guys would pay $1 million for just peace? How many of you guys would give up anything just to have peace in your heart and in your soul? You know, as I thought of this, it's funny. As you know, Hawaii is surrounded by water. We ain't going anywhere. So if you commit a crime, they're going to find you eventually. And so, but one of the things that I love to do is I love to surf, of course. And, you know, every single stereotype. No, I don't live in a grass hut. And no, I don't know how to do hula. So just break that off right now. I'm not going to do hula for you. But I guess in one area, I love to go to the beach. And I love to surf. I grew up in the water. I always went swimming. You know, always loved surfing in particular. And one day, me and my cousin, we decided, hey, let's go out surfing. And we like to, you know, we like to go surfing before the sun gets up. It's called Dawn Patrol. So everyone kind of like is into this thing. It's like, okay, hey, let's go Dawn Patrol. Shoots. See you there. So kind of like what happens, me and my cousin, a group of friends, we decided to go to a beach. And we went ahead and went to this beach, and we have our surfboards, and we start paddling out. And, you know, I'm a little bit more experienced surfer than him. And so, you know, I'm catching the waves, and we're having a lot of fun. But all of a sudden, I see my cousin getting caught in the riptide. And you know how that is. It's because, you know how it is, because you might be just bobbling and kind of like, you know, kind of swimming a little bit. But all of a sudden, over a couple of minutes, you see yourself move farther and further and further down. So we were like, you know, surfing, we were watching, but he was all the way down there. And I was like, oh no. And this particular beach was known for their sharks. And so they have reef tip shark, you know, black fin reef sharks all over there. And I'm like, this is not a good idea. So literally I saw he couldn't, and I was like, dude, get over here, man. And he was getting pulled out that way. So literally we kind of like, we started paddling, and we're from the shore. We're like, come on, paddle. And then he's like, oh, bro, no worries. I get him. And then all of a sudden he realized, oh, shoot, I'm caught in the riptide. So now he's starting to paddle. Now he wasn't really in shape, and so if you go surfing, make sure you're in shape, because you know you don't want to die. Look, dying is not a good idea, especially in the water. So he's paddling, and we're screaming to him saying, "Come on, bro, paddle!" And he's going, and he's paddling, and he's like, oh, bra, it's long. You know, when I say bra, I'm sorry. Bra is not like, you know, lingerie, stuff like that. It's like brother, okay? So just get it straight. So he's paddling and he's paddling. And we're saying, come on, get out of there. Because literally we know that he's in a big predicament. If he doesn't get out of the riptide, he's going to be pulled out to sea. And then we don't know, goodbye, bye-bye, la. And so we go ahead and he's paddling and paddling and paddling. And it's, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and all of a sudden he's starting to get really tired. His arms are getting tired. He's starting to lose momentum. He's starting to, and all of a sudden now he's kind of giving up. I'm like, don't give up. You're done. Don't die out there. Come on. Because I can't go in there and save him. I can't do it. I can't. And so a couple minutes later, thank God, a lifeguard comes. It's like Baywatch all over again. It's like, you know, and then like this guy, like super, like, you know, buff and like tan, and he's coming out with his, you know, over the ocean. And we're like, yes, awesome. And so my cousin, he's like paddling, and he's like, do you need help? And I'm like, dude, that guy's the man. And he reaches out his hand. Now, what do you think that my cousin did? What do you think he did? Oh, no, 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 no worries, no worries. No need to, I get it on myself, bruh. No worries, no worries, just go back, go rest. I got him myself. He had his boogie board, and he's like, no worries, I get him. You think he did that? No. You better believe he threw that, he put that board aside, and he grabbed onto the lifeguard's hand. They pulled him up and pulled him into shore. And now he will never go to the beach with me ever again. And he is alive, thank God. But many times I feel like when it comes to God and when it comes to life, we're striving. We're striving and we're working hard and we're getting tired and weary. We want to do it our own. We want to do it ourselves. And when God offers, I say I have forgiveness for you. I say I have a future and a plan. You don't have to do it your way. You don't have to do it. You don't have to grow weary and tired. There's a peace I have for you. And he reaches out to us. But many of us, when it comes to grace, we say, you know what, God? I can handle this on my own. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and I just want to quickly look at this because, you know, when we talk about grace, we're not talking about just forgiveness. We're talking about a person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Grace is given, and it's something that is unto us. And I want you to look at this story real quick, and we're going to look at this scripture. You see, here's the point. When the law brings condemnation, Christ offers grace. I know that's not a very popular vocabulary word here in Singapore. We know. I mean, seriously, we know. There's a lot of laws and rules in general. And many times we fail and make mistakes and we live with these expectations. But when the law brings condemnation, Christ offers grace. And we're going to look at this story, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. When each went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, early in the morning he came upon again to the temple. All the people came to him, and they sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery." This woman failed. This woman broke the law. One of those 600 plus laws, she deserves to be punished. Now, in the law of Moses, Jesus, now I know you're a religious guy, and I know that you're quite an awesome teacher, but according to our law, the book of, in the law of Moses, he commands us to stone such women. So what do you say? Now, it's interesting how even in we're talking about the religious circles now. We're talking about the religious leaders. That even religious people try to put Jesus in a box. They kind of say, "Jesus, now what are you going to do?" Boom. This is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. This is who should be following. Who should be in leadership. Who should earn their way. After, you know, someone messes up, we got this step. And you know what? After 2 years, then you can come back to the church, la. You can come back and we can restore you and we can have it. But here Jesus, and they're trying to get box him in, and says, they said this to him, verse 6, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote on his finger on the ground, and they continued to ask him. And he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw the stone." Jesus, in the face of disappointment and failure, in the face of hurt, in the face of punishment, Jesus was writing. Now, we don't really know what exactly he was writing, right? Could have been the quadratic equation. Could have been like, you know, the cure for cancer or something like that. He could have been writing all their names. Some theologians say he was writing names, but we don't really know exactly what he was writing. But the moment he stood up, he said this, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no longer." Here we have such a powerful depiction of what grace looks like. Grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving something that you do deserve. Like when, you know, your parents, like, they're about to give you, like, spanking. And then, like, I don't know about you, but I used to get the cane. It's true, la. I'm sorry, I'm probably using the law very wrong here. Sorry, please, I'm not trying to offend anyone. But mercy is like when you get into, like, you know you did something wrong, and, like, you don't receive what you do deserve. And so, literally, like, I'd be like, "Dad, mercy, la, mercy, mercy." And then he would say, "I give you mercy." But grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. And so right here, Jesus gives a gift to this woman in the midst of her failure, in the midst of the law saying you deserve death. And when they did these punishments, it was very, very excruciating. And very basically what they would do is they would dig a hole and stick the woman inside the ground, and her torso would stick out. And one by one, her family members, her friends, the religious leaders, the people all around her would take a stone, line up, and stone her. Have you ever felt judged? Have you ever felt rejected? Have you ever felt like you were being stoned because of what you failed, what you did or didn't do? And so this is where she's at, and Jesus, in the midst of the stoning, Jesus does something incredible as he stands for a woman. Women were second-class citizens. It's not Singapore. Singapore has strong women. You guys have a reputation in Hawaii for being the strongest women. And I tell you what, but during that time, women were seen as second class. And so everything was against her, yet you know who stood for her? Jesus stood for her. You see, here's the thing. Christ offers compassion in the face of condemnation. Christ offers us compassion in the face of condemnation. And I think that's something that we really need to sink in about what we believe here. Because I think that, you know, the Bible says that do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think that in many ways we are conditioned to think certain ways, even in church, even in our society. This is the way, this is what I do. I go to college, I do this, I do that, I do that. And look, not saying that that's bad or anything, but sometimes it comes in our faith where when we relate with God, we do and compartmentalize him in these different areas, but we miss the intimacy that he really desires to have with us. And grace is all about intimacy. It's about face to face. It's about, hey, no longer a distance, no longer afar off, no longer in heaven and I'm the king and I'm on the throne and you worship me and you do this and you do this way. But when Jesus came down, he swooped down, he came to the woman, he came down to where she was at, and she loved and embraced her. And she loves, and he loves you. That is grace. That is grace. It's incredible. Check it out in Romans chapter 8, verses 1. It says, "Now therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Matthew Henry, a theologian, said this, and I think it's really important that this, we kind of see that I was just really blown away at what he said. He said, "If shame corrodes the very part of us that believes that we are capable of change, Compassion creates new possibilities by inviting us back into right relationship with God and our community. Many times when we have faced shame, many times when we have done something wrong or something wrong has been, and we gain this reputation, or we're like, well, you decided to do that yourself, so you have to pay the consequences for your choices, and you alone must bear it. This woman did deserve it. But Jesus stood and he said, you are forgiven. You are set free. You know, the interesting thing is, he makes that phrase and he says, let any of you who have no sin throw the first stone. But let me ask you the question. Who in that group was the only one that was able to cast a stone? It was Jesus. If it was anyone who could throw that stone, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus understood something very special. He understood something that, you know what? I'm not here to bring judgment. I'm here to extend grace. I'm here because I love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, here's the thing. Like I started in the beginning, it says that, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Rest is found in embracing grace. Now, many of us were like, whoa, we stay away from grace. That is area that we don't talk about. Oftentimes I think of embracing grace like how I have family gatherings. Now, my family is, you know, I have a Korean side, and so we always have like family gatherings. And so it's funny because the older generation, like, they're not really into touch. They don't really like to hug. And I think I kind of overdo it a little bit. They know me as like Mr. Hugger. Like, I love to hug people and embrace people. It's aloha spirit. Aloha you. Hey, hug me. I love me. And I love you. And all that kind of stuff. So literally, when we come to our family, I remember the first time I hugged my grandma, because my parents would not allow us to continue running around with all the kids and cousins until we acknowledged all of our aunties, uncles. So literally, the line was like, we would spend like half an hour just finding all the aunties and uncles and trying to find them. And I remember coming up to my grandma, and it's like, have you ever had an awkward hug before? Like, it's really weird. Well, I remember like arms wide open, grandma, and like coming up to her and literally trying to hug her. And she literally went like this. And I was so, how do you say, confused. I ended up putting my arm like by her waist and like hugging her. And this is like, oh, that's really weird. And I realized that, you know, sometimes we have those awkward moments, like those awkward hugs. People like almost kiss each other. Then you go this way, or we all have to figure out some sort of system that if you're reaching out, you should probably go to the left and let them go to the right, so then we don't end up like kissing each other in the face and then have a really awkward moment. But sometimes when it comes to grace, we don't know how to really embrace it. Does it mean like I can just do whatever I want and God still forgives me or something like that? But it's interesting because we all have it through a lens of works, what I can do and how I can do it better, how I can improve. But Jesus says grace isn't a thing to do, but it's a person. You see, your worth and value is not based on what you do. Your value is based on who you are. You are a son and a daughter of God. And he is your heavenly father. And he loves you. He says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made known and perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. I'm going to ask the worship team to just come on up and we're going to wrap up. You know, Christ says that I boast in my weaknesses. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 9, it says, if we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness and sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And James, it says, therefore, if we confess our sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. God is about your healing. God is actually for you. You know, God isn't like a boss. Okay, so my relationship with my dad is very interesting. I've been his son for 28 years. I've been an employee of him for about 4 years. So the relationship I have with my dad has been like really interesting, to say the least. But I remember growing up feeling like I had to perform. Being a pastor's kid wasn't always easy. I hated being a pastor's kid because everyone got to saw the movies that I didn't get to see. It's like, Dad, can I go to the movies? Oh, what is it? Oh, you know, it's just like, you know, no. For real? And I hated it. Like, I had to be at church every single day. And like, I want to sleep. You know, we had all night prayers, like from 6 at night all the way to 6 in the morning. Saturday morning. That's when the cartoons are at. So literally, I hated being a pastor's kid. And my relationship with my dad was, and not just relationship with my dad, but everyone expected me to be perfect. Everyone expected me to kind of like, you know, fall in line, do the right thing. And I kind of took that responsibility because my other two siblings were kind of bad. Kind of like, I was kind of like seen as the good one. They were the ones that were the rebellious ones. And so like, I was like, well, okay, I'll do this game. So I wanted to perform, and I started getting involved in cell group, and I get involved in worship team. And oh man, I put a smile on, and I joined the worship team. Oh, you need a worship leader? I'll be a worship leader. Oh, you, what else do you, and at school. Oh, I worked hard in school, probably not hard enough. And then I joined sports. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to prove my worth. I wanted to show people. And this performance mentality, I thought I was making my dad proud. Wow, Dad. And he was pretty happy about me. But there was a moment when I failed. There was a moment when I was struggling with something. Now, I feel very comfortable here. I feel there's a place of grace. I feel like maybe you and I can relate. I remember one time I was 13 years old, and I was on the computer, and all of a sudden I shared it explicit. I opened the computer, and all of a sudden pornography, boom. I was like, whoa, what is that? And I was trying to click the X, but the more you click the X, it's like, what? Ah, shut off. And literally that became an addiction in my life at 13 years old. And I was so afraid to tell anyone because that was my problem to bear. And I needed to keep a front. I needed to make sure that I got everything together. I got to make sure that I'm the righteous, holy one. But let me tell you, deep down inside, there was a shame and a guilt and a condemnation that I beat myself up. And you people could tell, but I would never admit it. I would never tell anyone because I have to keep this front. I got to show strength. I can't be vulnerable. And even at times, I felt like God at I was struggling with this, and God, I don't think you can forgive me, and I don't think I'm worthy. I'm not worthy. And so I kept it hidden because, let me tell you, shame will put you in hiding. Then one day, my parents, like any other time, I get in trouble. Joshua, can you come into the room? Oh, no. What is it? And literally, I was so terrified. I got into the room and I see my mom crying. Oh no, what is this? My mom's crying. It's like, oh man. And my dad said, "Hey, what is this?" And he showed me the history, and I burst out in tears. I said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I deserve, like, I was ready for lickings. Like, lickings is like spankings. You give me the cane. I deserve it. I know I was wrong. I know that, you're disappointed with me. So I'm so sorry." And I was ready for the punishment to come my way. Standing face to face with my parents right there, I'm like. And my dad did something that really surprised me. He said, "Joshua, you know, I love you." "What?" "You know, it's not about what you do. It shows me your worth. But I forgive you." And he extended something called grace. You know how important it is for your soul right now to have connection with the Father? Is if you feel condemned from your past mistakes, if you feel like you are held in guilt and shame, Christ says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Exchange your strife. Exchange your strife for his rest." I'm going to have us all stand right now. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, I realize now, I know where this is 11:30 service, but God is reaching out to someone here saying, "Son, daughter, I love you. I gave my all so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have life. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus provided a way where there was no way. And maybe for you, you felt like as I was speaking, God was pointing his finger on you saying, "Son, you are forgiven. Son, I declare you are free. Son, you are washed and you are cleansed. I don't see you according to your past. I don't see you according, and I don't hold your future according to your past, but I see a bright future. If you would come to me and I will give you rest." With all eyes closed and heads bowed, I want to give an opportunity for you to come into a right relationship with God, because his hand is like that lifeguard. He's saying, "I'm already reaching out. I've already told you. You've heard the message. You've heard it. But today is the day that I want you to reach out and take a hold of grace. And that's my son, Jesus. Take a hold of love. Take a hold of peace. No longer live in strife. No longer live in condemnation. No longer live in shame. But live free." With no eyes looking around, no one's watching, this is between you and God. And if you would like to receive Jesus in your heart and make it right with God this morning here at the 11:30 service, I want you to go ahead and put your hand up and put it down on the count of three. One, he died for you. He wasn't ashamed of it. He loves you. Two, this is the greatest decision. Enter into that rest. Three, if that's you, just put your hand up and you can put it down. It's okay. Now is the time. I see, wow, many hands. You can keep your hand up if you wanted, but I just said, put your hand up, put your hand down. That's totally fine. I see you. God forgives you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, my daughter. He loves you, my son. There is now no condemnation. You are not being punished. You are not being punished for my hand is upon you. You are not living under guilt anymore. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. And now is a new start. This is a new start. A fresh and clean slate. Thank you, Lord. If you believe that and you want to make a new start, I just want you to, as we're all going to pray together, repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I mess up time and time again, And I deserve death. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus, I need you. Wash me in your blood. Take away all my sin. And help me to live in you. To live in your grace. To walk in power. To walk in rest in you. I trust you. You are my Lord. And you are my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. Now, I believe that some of us have really been touched. The worship team is just going to do one song. But if you want prayer and you want to receive prayer right now, I'm going to open up the altars. This is a safe place. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you what, sometimes we got to step out of what we know to experience something that God wants to give us. That means sometimes getting out of your chair and stepping out by faith. It might seem fearful. It's not your culture. It's not nice to step out of your... But let me tell you, some of us need some healing today. And you're saying, God, I don't want to live under shame or guilt or condemnation anymore. I want to live my life for you. So worship team, come on up. If you want to come and just receive prayer, I want to pray with you and just pray with you as a worship team.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, my chains are gone. I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy
just receive it right now.
Unending love, amazing grace,
yes, Lord.
Oh. Twice grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone,
my chains are gone.
Jesus. Lord, right now, God, I believe that you're breaking down shame. God, I believe right now, Father God, that you're setting us free. And Lord, that we no longer have to live in strife. Lord, we no longer have to live, but Lord, we can walk in the grace. We are not perfect, God. We weren't meant to be perfect, but Lord, your blood washes us and cleanses us, Father, so that we can walk in your freedom, Lord. And I just thank you right now, Father God, that you are touching and that you are healing people's lives right now. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you would release, God, your spirit in a powerful way, God. Thank you for your love, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us free. You've broken shame in the name of Jesus. You've broken condemnation, God, and you've released compassion, oh God. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, that what you're doing, Lord, it's a continual work, God. As we follow you and we walk in you, God, that you would be glorified through each one of us, God. Thank you, God, for your word. Dig deep in our hearts. Dig deep in your hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just have a picture real quick before I hand it over. I saw, before this conference started, I saw jade. And we know jade to be very valuable in the Chinese culture. It has a lot of meaning, but not in this sense. It was actually, your heart is jaded. There was a specific time, a tragedy, a disappointment that has happened where you used to be close to God, but it has caused you, you've been worn out, and it's caused your heart to become hard towards God like jade. But I want to speak, there's over your life, and he's speaking to you saying, I'm going to give you I'm going to take the heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. And he's reminding you that he loves you. And he's reminding you that you are loved and that you don't have to stand at a distance anymore. But he, the Father, is today extending himself to you and saying, give me your heart. And I want to soften it so that you can have compassion again. So that you don't have to be numb towards me anymore. You don't have to be numb towards your family anymore. You don't have to live in fear of someone trying to hurt you, and you don't allow anyone to get close. But God says, I will take the heart of stone and turn it into heart of flesh. So God, I pray that right now, release, God. I pray right now, Father God, that you would release that. I pray, God, that you would change that heart of stone. And Lord, even now, confirm that word in that person's heart. And last, there was another thing as we were worshiping. There's someone in here that you've been struggling with the call of God. There's more. God says, I have something greater than even Singapore, per se. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Singapore, but I've called you to nations. I've called you beyond. And I know that you've been struggling with certain decisions because it's not conventional. It's not normal. It doesn't fit. But God says, I've called you to greater. And I want to affirm that. And I want to say to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. He is your finances. He will provide for you. And he's confirming his word that if you surrender to him, he's going to guide you and lead you in all righteousness. God, I release that word now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joshua. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to pray this, the blessing together. Let's pray the grace together. Together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Have a good week.